Well, it's December, and so it's the Christmas season. How many of you, show of hands, because I'm just curious, how many of you have already got your decorations up, the lights are up, the tree is ready to go, you're in full celebration? Awesome, awesome. Good work. Diligence, diligence. How many of you are just listening to Christmas songs nonstop? Nonstop. That's all you're listening to. All right. Now wait, of those who are listening to Christmas music, were you listening to Christmas music like before Halloween? Because that doesn't count. That's a little crazy. Well, I hope you noticed some of the decorations that are around. Our staff helped put that together. A couple others, like Pete Catalino helped us with the tree. Kim and Chris Lance helped us with the wreath. I don't know if you saw that huge wreath as you were coming in. But just to make things a little more festive for the Christmas season, because Christmas is a really important time for the church. So I want to thank everyone who was involved with the decorations. Thank you so much for doing that. It just really helps us as we celebrate Christmas and focus on Jesus. You know, this is the time when the church really focuses in on who Jesus is and how he came to the earth. And so we're going to be doing that as well, because that's what the church does. But we're going to take a slightly different take on it. Because as I was been thinking about this, I noticed a thought pattern that I personally have. And so maybe you don't have this thought pattern, but maybe you do. So I'm taking a shot here. But as I was thinking about Jesus and thinking about how we relate to him and that kind of thing, we believe that he is God with us. And we believe that he is God with us in the sense that he is present with us, right? He came to earth. He came as a baby. He was with us. And now he's in heaven, but his spirit dwells with us. He is with us. But I think there's another aspect of God being with us that we don't necessarily think about. And that he is with us in the sense that he has been through the pain. He has been through the human experiences, the weakness, the limitations, those kinds of things, just as we have. And sometimes I think, though, we tend to think of Jesus as having all this power, all this ability, that he is beyond us, that he is not really like us. In fact, he is like an alien. Because he's an outsider. He's not really like us. He's from a distant planet. He's different than us. He's not really human. Right? Now, whether you are new to Jesus and you're not really sure exactly what he did when he roamed the earth, or maybe you're pretty familiar with Jesus and you know all about his life and his ministry and that kind of thing, I think sometimes we find it difficult to relate to him because of this feeling that he's an outsider, that he's kind of relationally distant from us. And it's not because he doesn't speak to us audibly, but he speaks to us through his scripture and through his spirit and things like that. It's because we view him as different from us. Or maybe you have this image of Jesus as a Superman. Okay, I was thinking about this and thinking about the parallels between Jesus and Superman. It was kind of interesting because, you know, Superman's parents weren't his real parents, right? Jesus' dad wasn't his real dad. God is his dad. Superman was from a distant planet. Jesus was from heaven. Superman had these superpowers to be able to do miraculous things. Jesus healed people from disease. Jesus had power over nature. He calmed the storm. Jesus multiplied bread. Right? Jesus is super good, and Superman was super good, right? Superman and Jesus, they don't fall prey to the influence of power and fame. You know, the hurts and the problems that we face seem to be no match for Jesus. They don't seem to really faze him like they faze us. And see, I see myself viewing Jesus like this from time to time, but I don't think that that's accurate. I think that God is with us not just in presence, but also in the sense that he knows our hurts because he's personally experience them. He is with us. And I think he's experienced some pains to a greater degree than we, in fact, ever will. Now, the author of Hebrews says some similar things in chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. We'll have this up on the screen. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus understands our weaknesses because he too was tempted. He understands. He faced it as well. And so the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that, how Jesus was tempted, how Jesus faced the difficult times, how he is like us. He is with us. He's part of the team. He's part of the human experience living in a broken world. Now, Christmas can be a difficult time. It's supposed to be a happy time. You hear all the music about joy and all that good stuff. You have a longer vacation maybe. You can spend time with family and that kind of thing. Christmas is supposed to be this wonderful giving time and all that. But what happens when all you can reflect upon is the pain that happened in the past year? The pain of maybe losing a loved one. The pain of maybe life being different or some type of terrible thing happened, losing a job. Maybe your health has gone out the window. Maybe there was a traumatic event that you're still feeling the effects of. And so during this happy time of year, those things come rushing back and they can be really, really difficult. Right? Well, I'm hoping if that's the case for you, that as we're looking at who Jesus is, that you're going to be encouraged. That Jesus is not just with you in presence, but he's with you in the sense that he's been through the hurt and the pain. I think that we will see Jesus in a new light, not as an alien that doesn't understand us, but as a fellow journeyman who's faced the obstacles, who has been on the path, who has really trailblazed for us. The author of Hebrews says it this way. He says, for this reason, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I hope that will become an encouragement, a verse that we can cling to as we face temptation. So this morning we're going to be looking at dependence. We're going to be looking at weakness. We're going to be looking at limitations that we all face, but that Jesus faced. Because Jesus had limitations throughout his earthly life. Limitations that we experience, the mess, the hurt, the rejection. It's the very same thing that we all experience as humans. And yet Jesus demonstrates obedience to God and the victory that results through trusting God through the mess. Right? So we're going to start actually with Jesus as a little baby. Because it's that time of year where we focus on Jesus being a little baby. But then we're going to look into an example of Jesus being an adult and what his limitations, his dependence, and what weakness looks like. All right? So, let's get started with Jesus being born. You know, I think if we really think about this, that Jesus was born, it would blow our minds, right? This is an amazing concept that Jesus, the Son of God, was born. That God would go to such an extent to connect with humanity that he would send Jesus, that Jesus would be with us. But God wants to dwell with us. He wants to be with us. And so he takes it upon himself to begin chiseling away at those barriers between us and him. And when we see babies, we see these little innocent new people, and we think about all the potential, the excitement. Isn't that cute? I found that picture. I was like, I have to share this. But we see these little kids and we're like, wow, I wonder how they're going to grow up. I'm so excited to see the potential. I wonder what great things are they going to do in life. And hopefully they embrace Jesus and they trust Him with all their heart. You know, parents see this and their hearts melt as well, but they see that potential, but they also remember the needs, the dependence, those regular feedings, right? The having to comfort the child and walk them back and forth down the hall to help them fall asleep. All the burping, the bouncing, the spit ups and all that stuff, right? The diaper changing. All of the dependence that a baby has. Our Lord was a baby. And our Lord wasn't this super baby, okay? It wasn't that He could pray over people and heal people, that His drool had these miracle properties to them. Okay? It wasn't like that. He needed to be fed. And it wasn't like He could use His Jedi skill to grab a piece of bread, bring it over to Him so He could gnaw it until He could get some bread in His mouth. That's not what Jesus was like. He had to depend on His parents. His dad probably had to hold Him some nights until He could lull Him to sleep. He probably cried for attention sometimes, or cried for food because He was hungry. Now, just because a way in the manger says no crying He makes doesn't make it biblical or true. Jesus was limited by His humanity. Jesus experienced what it was like to grow up as well. He was a child. He was not very strong. He learned. He developed understanding. And Luke's account in chapter 2, verse 40 talks about this. It said, the child, referring to Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him. Jesus grew up. He went through puberty. He had that awkward middle school stage that we all have. His voice probably cracked. He had to develop strength as he grew in stature. And he was the son of this carpenter masonry father, Joseph. And so he probably watches his father work and that kind of thing and longs for the time in which he can grab some of those stones and some of that wood and help. But then there's one day where Joseph's like, Jesus, come over here. Help me grab this wood and stones. Jesus has gotten a little bit bigger. Then a few years go by and Joseph says, Jesus, grab those stones over there and bring them to me, because Jesus has gotten the strength now to be able to help his father. And he could carry those things all on his own. Jesus was filled with wisdom. Maybe that developed, maybe that unveiled over time as Jesus grew and learned. Now, I imagine this might be blowing some of your minds, because some of you maybe haven't thought about Jesus like this in his humanity. Maybe you did think of Jesus as this Superman. And so you were thinking the only problems that Jesus really had was trying to understand why other two-year-olds can't bend space-time with their minds. Jesus was just waiting for his body to catch up with his divinity so he could reveal himself to everyone. But that's not the picture that Scripture gives of Jesus. It reveals that Jesus is God with us, not just God present, but God in the mess. God not shielding himself from humanity's problems with his divinity, but God immersing himself in the misery of this world. Our God is with us and understands us because he is like us. All right, so let's look at now the adult example. And for this, we're going to be in Matthew 4. And so I don't have this up on the screen. You'll have to grab your Bibles for it. We're going to be through verses 1 through 11 in Matthew 4. If you need a pew Bible, it should be under the seats in front of you. We'll be on page 809 for that. So you can pull those out. Now, Matthew was a follower of Jesus from the very beginning. And he gives his account of Jesus' life. And this is one of the things that happened at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, basically. So shortly after Jesus is baptized, Matthew starts this account that we're going to be looking at in chapter 4. So in chapter 4, verse 1, let me read for us. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus is led in verse 1 by the Spirit into the desert. And I find this fascinating. Jesus knows there's no food in the desert. There's no water in the desert. There's no shelter in the desert. And Jesus is showing his dependence upon God. He's allowing the Spirit to lead him into a place where he probably wouldn't normally go. It doesn't look like this is for a vacation or R&R. Jesus is depending on the Spirit just as he depended on his parents as a child. You know, we are still dependent. You know, we might make money and use that money to purchase things, to cover our needs. Maybe even we have money to do things that we enjoy and like to do. But we're still dependent. We're still dependent on a job or a system or people to provide those goods and that kind of thing. But we're also dependent in other ways. We're dependent on a spiritual renewal. We're dependent on emotional support. We have a need for value and worth and a need to be directed and guided into what is true and right. Jesus here is a great example of depending well, that even as an adult, he is depending on his Father, God. His dependence is exactly what ours should be. In verse 2, Jesus was hungry. And that's an important concept. Because sometimes I think we think Jesus is like the dragon warrior, the Kung Fu Panda, who is rumored to be able to survive and sustain himself on universe juice. But that's not Jesus. His divinity isn't shielding him from the discomforts, the necessities of being human, of having a physical body and to be hungry, and his body needs food and sustenance. So why does the Spirit lead him out into a desert where there is no food? So Jesus could learn to depend on God to care for his need, so that he could be tempted. God knows that we need food. And in fact, Jesus actually shares this lesson later on in Matthew's account, in chapter 6, starting in verse 31 through 33, it says, "Do not worry, saying, what should we eat? Or what should we drink? Or what should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It's hard to depend on God for our needs sometimes, right? Especially when we think we've got it covered. But it can also be hard when we're working hard and we're doing the things that we need to do and it's just not working out. You see, our dependence on God is not tied to results. It's about our faith. Jesus depends on the Spirit to lead him because he's submitting to God's leadership in his life. Like God would direct him on what he needs. And because of that, Jesus then provides us with an example to follow. And not just this false example, not a pseudo example, but a true example, because Jesus experienced the exact same thing. He wasn't using his divinity to not feel the hunger or not feel the pain. Jesus lived through it so that we could follow him in it. Well, verses 3 through 10, Jesus responds to Satan using Scripture. And I think that should be a huge encouragement and comfort to us. Jesus isn't using the power of his personality to try to convince Satan that he's wrong. He doesn't use a miracle or his divinity. He doesn't indirectly kind of use power from on high, from angels or that kind of thing. He quotes Scripture. When we're fighting our own battles against sin and temptation, when we're in those trenches of spiritual warfare, there is hope for victory that we can overcome, that we don't have to be divine in order to win these battles over sin, because we can go to Scripture. And too often, I think we excuse our sin. We act as if there is no way of overcoming it. But I think the reality is sometimes it simply costs more than we're willing to pay at that moment to overcome. And Hebrews, the author of Hebrews makes this point in chapter 12, verse 4, and it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. But Jesus did. We'll be looking at that in a few Sundays from now. But if we kept Scripture on our minds to help us go to God as we face those trials and those temptations, we'll receive the help that we need in that time. Remember Hebrews talking about Jesus being our high priest, that we can boldly go to him and ask for help and strength in our time of need? We need to do that. We need to believe it. Because that's what Jesus did. I want to look at how Satan attacks Jesus' identity and go through some of these real quick, because I think this is impressive. This is something we need to keep in mind. Satan is brilliant. He's questioning Jesus' identity. He says, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. Satan has him trapped if Jesus goes along in Satan's game. If Jesus chooses to prove his identity, then he finds himself defeating the purpose that God has for him in being out in the desert and fasting for so long. Dependence and trust. And I think often we fall into that trap because as we're suffering, we think, I'm God's child. God doesn't want me to suffer like this. God wants the best for me. And so we try to defeat our own suffering by doing things the way that we can and in our own way. And then God isn't letting us turn our stones into bread. And we're in this identity crisis because we're like, well, God, am I your child? Or worse, we think, does God really care about me? God has a purpose. His purpose is important. And he will care for us. Jesus actually recognizes God's purpose in the scripture that he quotes, Deuteronomy 8:3. And he says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus got it. He was hungry so that he could feed on God's word. And as he was feeding on God's word, he was ready to face Satan's temptation. It's one of the reasons we actually fast here at Evangel. We fast here at Evangel twice a year. And we do that because we want to reorient ourselves so that we can go back to the source of our strength, which is God himself. It's easy for us to, you know, wake up in the morning and grab that cup of coffee and feel like we're ready to go, right? Grab a nice breakfast or something like that to give us the energy we need for the day. But the reality is, We need spiritual food. We need God's word. We need His strength to face the day and the temptations that are going to come, the conflicts and those kind of things. We need to open up the Bible and eat and feed off the words of God and allow them to provide us the strength. Well, Satan does things, tweaks things a little bit different in his next temptation to Jesus. He takes Jesus' dependence on God and then perverts it. He tells him that if he trusts God's provision, then he should prove God's protection. Because God promised to protect his chosen, and then Jesus rightly quotes scripture to disregard Satan's premise. He says, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. God protects us, but we disobey him if we're putting ourselves needlessly in harm's way. The final one, Satan offers the shortcut. Satan offers Jesus all the kingdoms in the world in exchange for worship. Now, Jesus' mission was to rescue people from all over the world for God, to redeem them, to be a people of God. And so Satan was offering that very thing to Jesus without the suffering of the cross. And if Jesus had taken that shortcut, it would have short-circuited God's full purpose of Jesus' mission. Because if just those people were saved at that time frame of just those kingdoms across the world, guess what? There'd be no salvation for you and I. No salvation for the generations coming afterwards. It was only through the suffering of Jesus that God's full purpose is able to flourish. But it meant Jesus couldn't cut any corners. There had to be suffering involved. Now, we don't always know God's purpose in our suffering and our loss. We simply must depend upon God to get through it. But I believe one day we will know and we will see. And I think we will be overwhelmed and overjoyed in knowing what God did through it. Verse 11, I think, is crucial as we kind of wrap up looking at this passage. In verse 11, the angels come and they minister to Jesus. But they come afterwards. Jesus needed help afterwards. He's been without food for 40 days and nights. And Jesus or God sends the angels to care for him. But they didn't show up until after Satan was gone, after that battle was over. You know, there have been times in my life I've been in a battle or some fight or something like that. And I could have used an angel to really intervene and maybe like supernaturally close my mouth or something to keep me from saying something really stupid. That would have been helpful. But these angels arrive once the dust is settled and the danger is clear. Why? Because we need to trust God. We need to face our temptations and choose God. We depend on Him and not ourselves and not on angels, not on anything else, but depend on God who will see us through just rarely in our own timetable. Now think about this. If when you became a Christian, or if becoming a Christian meant that you have access to divine power and resources so that any problem that you face, any conflict that you have in life, you could address that with divine resources, that would be a pretty attractive deal there, right? I think everyone would come to know Jesus, acknowledge Jesus, because they could secure a blessed and a peaceful, a worry-free life. But what would be lost? Our relationship with God. Right? If we had total access to the divine power and the resources, we'd be so enamored with the gifts, who would care about the giver? But God wants to be the God with us. He wants to relate to us. He wants us to trust in Him to send the angels once we fought the fight. He wants us to know that His ways are best. that we will be cared for. All right, so what's our takeaways from this sermon? I hope it's that you know that our God isn't distant. He's not unrelatable. He's not this alien. He's actually one of us, that he's faced the limitations of being human too. You know, he's ministered to people. He's shared the truth of God, tried to help people understand who God is, and is not able to change their minds or force people to believe or live by the truth. His divinity didn't shield him from the unpleasantness of this world. Times when his friends were mourning the loss of their brother, or times when he personally lost his cousin, John the Baptist, by an unjust act of the king. Or maybe Jesus lost his father. We don't know. Jesus knew what hard work was like. He knew the frustration of being rejected by his own family. God is with us. He knows. He's been there. He's felt it. And he still feels our pain. He wants to see people changed and transformed. He knows, not just an academic knowledge, but an experiential knowledge, because he's been there. And he overcame. Now, you have to remember, Jesus didn't have to do this. There wasn't a need for Jesus to come to earth. He was comfortable in heaven, enjoying fellowship with the Father, with the Spirit, with the angels all around him and their glory, the heavenly creatures worshiping him nonstop. And yet he doesn't just come to earth and just kind of make an appearance. Hey, how you doing? I'm your God. See you later. I'm out of here. He goes all in. He takes on our burdens. He walks among us because he loves us, and God loves you. God has begun chipping away at those obstacles, those barriers between you and him. Be encouraged. Life is tough. Evil is active. Evil is trying to destroy anything good in our world. Even our own temptations and our sins that are just eat at us and torment us. But God sent Jesus even while we were still sinners. Jesus came to be with us. Not just to be here, but to be with us. We at Evangel love to share this good news about Jesus. And we do it a lot. We believe in the fact that God loves us, that Jesus came to build a bridge between us and God, that Jesus came to reveal who God was, and that our sin was actually separating us from God, and that needed to be addressed, and that he died to address it, to pay our debt, and to satisfy the cost of our own evil. And so now, because of that, we have this choice to freely follow after God or to deny the love of God and follow our own path and reap the eternal ruin for that choice. I ask you to consider this holiday of giving yourself to Jesus. Think of it as a birthday present. As we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, what better gift than giving him your heart and your soul? That you would respond to the love of God that he has already demonstrated, but is continually demonstrating to you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're here for a reason. Because God is reaching out to you. He's calling for you. He's asking you to accept his love. Would you listen to him? Would you hand over your life to him? It starts, your relationship with God starts with a simple prayer, asking him to save you. That you accept his offer of a restored relationship to God. That you recognize that you've done some things that aren't right, that aren't according to his ways. And that you want him to lead you for the rest of your life, that you give your life over to Him. Now imagine there's a number of you who have known Jesus for a while. And so I want to challenge you this morning as well. You know, God is with us, but I think the question we need to be constantly asking ourselves as those who follow Jesus is, are we with God? The season is so busy. We have things to do, parties to go to, family get-togethers, church events, all that good stuff. We can easily get distracted in this whole season of busyness that we forget the reason for our celebration. Are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? You know, we talk about that C4 stuff all the time. We mention it every single service. And so my question for you is, are you doing all the C4 things? Because it's a way in which we can help each other grow in our relationship with Jesus. If you're celebrating, that's awesome, which you basically are because you're here. Have you connected with people yet? Have you gone to some of the events that our church has so you can get to know other people? Do that. Choose one of these other ones to do if you're not doing them all. Maybe it's change. Maybe you need to get into a small group study of the Bible. Well, we can help you with that. Pastor Travis can help you with that. His email is travis@evangelbaptist.org. Very simple. Very simple. You can always come to one of us, the staff, and we'd be happy to help you out with figuring something out like that. Or maybe you need to commit. Maybe you have gifts and talents and you're just not sure how to use it, but you would love to serve the Lord. We can help you out with that. Just come talk to us. You can email me. Mine's simple too. It's nate@evangelbaptist.org. We try to make it very simple just so we can remember. nate@evangelbaptist.org. Send me an email. Let's talk. And let's grow with Jesus together. Now is the best time. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you are doing all those things and you're connected and you're growing with God. And maybe, you know, you just need to stop and really seek that relational part with you and Jesus. Maybe you're doing really well and your life is growing really well. God has given you wisdom and you've just pursuing things and doing good stuff. You've seen a lot of success in your work. Your research is just going awesome. But you really don't take the time to let God lead you. You don't let Him enter in to your life that way. I want to encourage you to stop. Take the time. Ask God to be a part of what you're doing. Talk to Him about your thoughts and your ideas about your research or whatever you're doing. Ask Him to lead and guide you and allow Him to be part of that and listen for Him to lead you in that. Maybe you've just had a long struggle with temptation and you felt like the devil knows your weaknesses and he is able to keep your life in disarray. I really want to encourage you. You can come talk to the pastors about that. If you have a life group, if you have a close friend, you need to talk to them about that. Have some accountability with them on those things and get some guidance on what scriptures to cling to. Because when that temptation hits, you want to have that scripture in your mind. You want to be thinking about it. You want to be dwelling on it. And then you might need to call that friend up. You might need to ask Him to help get you through that temptation. And then you need to believe that once that temptation is over, God is going to be right there, ready to heal your wounds, ready to give you the angels, the cleanup crew to help you out. You know, there is a way of overcoming. Jesus is not an alien. He's not a Superman. He is our Lord and Savior. And He loves us and He shows us the way to victory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that this is a time where we can celebrate Your coming to earth. Lord, that You are with us. And Lord, that we could just dwell on that this week. That you're just not present, but you've experienced the things that we've experienced. You've experienced the limitation, the temptation. Lord, help us to cling to you as we face our trials. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would choose to follow you, that they would see that you love them so much. And Lord, for those of us who have known you for a long time, I pray that you would help us to cling to you all the more, that we would hide Scripture in our hearts, and that we would begin to have those victories in overcoming our temptations. Lord, I pray that you would do this, that you would make your church strong and bold for your glory. Lord, for the hope of our community and for the hope of the world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.